Congratulations, you have made it this far in the seminar. I'm so proud of you. The work that we've done in these sessions have been incredible. They can be church transforming, and I hope you're beginning to sense that and feel that in your church. And maybe even now, just this far into it, you're beginning to see some of that transformation, and you're seeing first-time guests come back. You're seeing second-time guests take next steps and get involved in serving and starting to grow. Well, we've reached the point here near the end of our time where we're looking at from regular attender to member. So once a second-time guest comes back for a third time or comes back for a fourth time or a fifth time or a sixth time, they begin to identify your church as their church. And at that point, they are a regular attender. One of the questions I get from time to time is, Nelson, how do I know if someone is a regular attender? Well, the only true answer is they self-identify. They self-identify. And most people, after their third or fourth time at a church, they're starting to think of this as their church, and they're starting to identify that when I go to church, I go there. They may not be the fully developing follower of Jesus that we want yet. In fact, they may not even be a believer yet, but they're attending. They're finding something at your church, and they're being drawn closer to God in such a way that they start thinking of themselves as a regular attender. Now, in this final step of assimilation, we want to move them from regular attender into the fully engaged member of your church. But before I get into the techniques of that and give you a few scriptures, I want to go back to something that we started with. You may remember, or probably not because it was so long ago, in our first session, I reminded you that assimilation is really biblical hospitality. And so I want to just remind you of the theology of hospitality for just a moment. Now here I'm not talking so much about the hospitality in your church, but I'm really talking about the great drama of hospitality that God works in the life of every believer. So if you think about your life, there was a time before you were a believer where you were a stranger from God. You were out there running away from God. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were a stranger. But then through God's Holy Spirit, He draws you to Himself. And you probably went to a church for the first time. And there at that church, you became a guest. You weren't a member of God's family. You had not been adopted into God's family. You were just a guest. You were observing. You were open. You were perhaps experiencing the conviction of the Holy Spirit, this drawing in your life. And then at some moment, you said yes to Jesus Christ. At that moment, you were no longer a stranger. You were no longer a guest. When you said yes to Jesus Christ and you stepped across that line of faith, you became a family member. You were now a brother and sister with every other follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm old enough to remember that in church, we used to call one another brothers and sisters. We don't do that as much anymore, and maybe rightfully so, but we are family members. I mean, you're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ because God is our Father. And then as we mature as a family member, we begin to understand who we are in connection with Christ. That we're not just a brother or sister in Christ, but we are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. That all that Jesus has, He gives to us as an inheritance. We have a place in heaven. We have a place in God's kingdom. And we begin to understand the fullness. We'll never understand it fully. We see through a dark glass dimly, but we begin to see all that we have in Christ, and that sustains us and maintains us, and we persevere in Christ Jesus. So think about that progression. Stranger to guest, and then in Christ, we become family members and co-heirs with Christ. That's the process God has worked in all of our lives. And in essence, this assimilation process that we've been going through, it is your way in the church to help facilitate that process in the lives of individual people. And I believe God gives us that opportunity. We don't take God's work. We're not doing the work of God. We're still utterly dependent on God. But when God sends a guest to our house, let's make sure that they're treated well. Let's make sure we follow up on them. Let's see if we can get a first-time guest to return. And then let's do everything we can to connect them and create stickiness, so that as they attend on a regular basis, they understand who Jesus is and eventually take that step of faith to follow Him. And then as they grow in this new family that they have as a brother and sister in Christ, we want to help them understand all that they have in Jesus. And God created the church as His family on earth. And we have a role and a responsibility in the church to help each individual person God sends our way so that they can experience biblical hospitality locally, but also eternally. Well, I'll just pause right there. There's a lot of verses that I could give you, and there's a few in your notes like Romans 8:17 and Ephesians 1:5. And sometime or another, you may want to do an entire study on biblical hospitality. And of course, that bridges into biblical fellowship as well. But I thought at this point, as we near the end of our time and this session and then one brief final session to wrap up, I want to remind you of what God is doing through you and how God can work through you and how I hope you're already seeing that. Well, in this step three, from regular attender to member, as we get into this, let me just remind you of a few verses. First of all, we get to be a part of God's church, but it's ultimately His church. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." And then in the book of Hebrews, we're admonished, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." So as we move into this last step, we want to encourage people who are first-time guests who are regular attenders. They've gone from first-time guests, second-time guests to regular attenders. We want to encourage those who are regular attenders to now move and become fully engaged members of our church. Now, this is not a membership seminar. I have other resources on developing members and how to practically run a membership process. And every church does it a little differently. If I can help you, take a look at those other resources. But the point is, we do want to see people move from just casual attenders to fully engaged member. And there is a difference. There is a difference between a regular attender and a member. It's often a difference that you notice in language before you notice it in deed or action. So here's what I've noticed, and this is in your notes. A regular attender says, "This is the church I go to." So yes, it is the church they go to, and they do feel a connection to the church. But when they talk to you, maybe as the pastor, they say, "Pastor, I love what you have going on here. Pastor, you have some good things going on here. Pastor, I like what all these people at the church do." They sort of see themselves as just a little bit outside. Yes, they're attending. They may even be part of a group, or they may go to a lot of events, but they're just on the peripheral of the church. But a regular attender says, "This is the church I go to." But a member says, "This is my church." And even before they sign the membership covenant, you may notice the change in language. So they don't say, "Pastor, I love what you have going on here." They say, "Pastor, I love what we do at our church. I'm so proud to be a part of this church. I can't believe all the good things that happen every week in our church. I was so excited to have a role in helping our church do this ministry or in that ministry." And the language of ownership begins to occur. And long before someone signs up for membership, they take ownership in the church. In fact, so much so that I often say ownership precedes membership. And when you're looking to move people into membership, all you need to do is look for those people who have taken ownership. They take ownership through their serving. They take ownership through their giving. They take ownership through their words and how they talk about their church. Not the church they go to. This is my church. And you want to be on the lookout for that and see that as a way God is working inside of someone's life. But then from a practical standpoint, how do you move someone into membership? How do you move them from being a regular attender to a fully engaged member? Well, there's two ways you can do it. First of all, there's the opportunities that you have during the service. So let's talk about what you can do during the service to help someone move from regular attender to member. Number one, you can challenge them to serve. You can provide serving opportunities. We talked about serving opportunities quite a bit when we looked at second-time guests or regular attenders, because serving opportunities, more so than fun events and even more so than just being an attender in a small group, when someone takes on a label or takes on a title in some kind of service area in your church, that means they're taking ownership. And by now, perhaps the regular attender has become a follower of Jesus, and there's really no area in the church that is off limits to them. In fact, I'll just caution you to make sure that you have plenty of opportunities in your church for non-members to serve. You know, there are some things that only members can do and only members should do. But a lot of things that we've traditionally put behind the membership covenant, these are serving opportunities that really don't require membership. They only require the commitment to attend regularly. So, for example, to be an usher in our church, all you need to do is be a regular attender. To sing on our worship team for at least a semester or two, all you need to do is be a regular attender. Now, after you've been serving for a while, we do want our volunteer leaders and our team leaders to have a conversation with you about becoming a member. But even at the Journey, you can lead a small group for at least one semester without yet being a member. Now, inside of our small group structure, you can be a small group host for a long time without being a member. You can be a small group coordinator, or you can be in charge of refreshments, or you can be in charge of the prayer request. There's a lot of different areas where a regular attender can serve, and they can have significant ownership in the church. And again, the more ownership that you can give, the more little pieces of serving leadership or serving ownership that you can give, the more pride someone's going to have in the church, the more responsibility they're going to take in the church, the more ownership they're going to have in the church. And ownership, again, precedes membership. So just as in the last session you looked at where are the serving opportunities for second-time guests, now you want to ask, do I have enough serving opportunities for my regular attenders? And one of the things I encourage churches to do, and I go into great detail in this in a seminar that I have called the Ministry Seminar, which is really about having a healthy volunteer culture, is to take the areas of service you have in your church and divide it into four. Either create four parts of service inside of that area or create four teams that rotate in that area. And if you shoot for four teams and you end up with three, that's okay. You shoot for four teams and you end up with two, that's okay. Because even doing that, you double the number of areas. And you want to look at and measure the health of your church by how many people do we have serving. And the more regular attenders that you move into serving, the larger, if you will, the fishing pool for membership becomes. So you want to give as many people ownership as possible. Now you do this carefully. You do it with job descriptions, you do it with timelines, and all that I talk about in that other ministry seminar, but serving opportunities become very important. And people begin to take pride, and they begin to take ownership of their area, and they now know that they matter. And they're now not just on the outside looking in, they're an intricate part of the church, and they're members through their serving before they sign that particular covenant. But that's a very, very powerful step. And it not only facilitates them moving into membership, but it facilitates their spiritual growth. And this is a little outside of our seminar, but I just have to say, the more people you have serving in your church, the more healthy your church is going to be, because serving leads to growth. And Jesus said the goal of this Christian life is to learn to serve, to be a servant of many. And so the more people you have serving, the more people you have growing, and the more regular attenders you have serving, the more likely you are to move them to membership. So do you get the vision that I like seeing people serve? I want people to fulfill their God-given purpose in your church. And this helps in moving them in the direction we're going to fully engaged members, serving opportunities. A second way during the service that you can move people from regular attender to member is to preach on membership. Preach on it. You know, sometimes I talk with churches, and particularly when they join my coaching networks, and they say, I have trouble getting people to join. We used to do membership class, but we stopped because nobody went to it. Or they say, I see value in membership class. I think it's good to bring people together for a couple of hours and talk about the core values of the church and to talk about the vision of the church. I see value in having people sign a membership covenant. And I do too. I'm a big believer in membership. I know you become a member of God's family when you're saved in Jesus Christ, but I also think you should commit to a local church and become a member of a local church. But a lot of times when someone says, I have trouble getting people to join my church, we begin to discover that they've never really taught their people why membership matters. I mean, if you're a teaching pastor, think about the last time you preached on membership. You know, one of the things I love about the connection card is every week on the back of the connection card, it has the date of the next membership class. And so even if the next membership class is a few months away, at least it's there every week for people to sign up for and to see. And then a lot of times as we get closer to membership class, it moves from the smaller right-hand side of our connection card to the major left-hand side, and it becomes very specific. And one of the things I use the connection card for is a way for people to sign up for membership class. And so we do single-step signups for membership class on the back of the connection card. So I might preach on membership, maybe an entire sermon, or more than likely just a 5 or 10 minute piece inside the sermon. You know, if the text lends itself for me to say something about membership, or if I feel like that's a big spiritual need in the church and I need to preach on it, then I'll preach on it. And then I will call people's attention to the next step on the back of their connection card and say, take that step today to sign up for membership class. And so they sign up right there. You know, some churches lack members because they don't preach on membership class enough, or when they do preach on it, there's no easy way for people to sign up. So the pastor gets everybody excited, but then they have to go through a multiple-step process to go to the class. They have to call the office or fill out this form or be pre-approved in some way as if they're, you know, getting credit for a new home loan. Well, I do single-step signups. I preach on it, and then they can sign up for it right there on the connection card. And just, by the way, it's the same process I use for baptism. If I preach on baptism, they can sign up for the next baptism right there on the class. If I'm talking about fellowship and fun events, they can sign up. If I'm talking about small groups, they can sign up. So I love single-step signups. And that's just a reminder that your connection card is a very, very powerful tool beyond just first-time guests. It's also the way people sign up. It's also the way people take spiritual next steps like scripture memorization or baptism or membership. It's also the way they sign up for groups or sign up for fun events. But you may lack in the area of membership because you've been slack when it comes to preaching on membership. So preach on it. Tell people why it matters. You know, way back in an earlier session, I mentioned the 30-day follow-up to first-time guests. And I sort of said, if you can't do everything, don't worry about it. But I will tell you that as we've developed our assimilation process, and if I told you the entire assimilation process that we use at The Journey, we would need 70 sessions to be able to go into that. In fact, it's one of the reasons I have a deeper course after this one called Assimilation Coaching. And I really take you deeper because we're just laying down the basic foundations here. But what I'm saying in there is, in each of the areas that we've already discussed, I actually have other steps designed to educate people about membership. Almost from the time someone comes to our church for the first time, I'm educating them about why membership matters. At the resource table, I have a brochure on why membership matters. In our second time follow-up, I begin to educate them about membership. If somebody checks membership, on the back of their connection card, we have a membership packet that we send out to them, and it explains what membership is, and it explains that it's a one-time, three-hour class. We explain what's going on in the class. We're doing everything we can, not just from the pulpit, but in other ways to educate people. So you see, what I'm giving you in this seminar is Assimilation 101. It's the don't miss stuff. But then on top of that, you can build, and you can build, and you can build. And that's one of the reasons why at The Journey, we are not just keeping 1 out of every 10 first-time guests, but we're keeping 1 out of every 3 first-time guests, and sometimes even a little better than that. And so just understand that what we're covering here today is the foundations, and you can add in other pieces. Don't take away any of the pieces, but you can add to that. So you can teach on it. You might have a packet back at the resource table. You might have a brochure, but the point is educate people. And a third area during the service that I've already referred to is utilize the connection card for spiritual growth. You know, the connection card is part of your system. It is a way for people to sign up for events, but it's also a way for people to grow spiritually. And just as you have these specific event-driven next steps like a membership or fun events or growth group or small group signups, you also have spiritual next steps, scripture memory, commitments to give, commitments to serve, commitments to pray. You know, I've used the connection card over the years in very diverse ways, from challenging people to read through the Bible in a year, to simply challenging people to pray before a meal, to challenging people to have a 15-minute quiet time every day. I mean, you name it. If I've preached on it, I've probably created a spiritual next step that people could take on the back of their connection card. And that's one of the ways that regular attenders move forward in their faith, by taking these spiritual next steps. And I believe baptism is a spiritual next step. Obviously, the most important spiritual next step is becoming a follower of Jesus. And it goes outside of the focus of our seminar now, but for each of those, there is a follow-up process. And so you can imagine if someone checks that I'm going to start having a daily devotion for the first time, I've got an email and perhaps even a letter or some other materials I might send them about what it means to have a daily devotion. So the connection card over time becomes more than just a contact info card. It becomes a spiritual growth tool, and especially for your regular attenders. And then, of course, your members love it too. In fact, a lot of churches that I coach, they tell me if they tried to take the connection card away, you know, they're a year into it or 2 years into it, they said, if I tried to take the connection card away, my regular attenders and members would have an uprising, because they've seen how powerful that card can be when it comes to sharing prayer requests and growing spiritually. And the more you help people grow, the more you show them the biblical path for growth, the more you help them live out their faith and serving opportunities and all, the more ownership they take. And from our vantage point today, the more likely they are to go to membership class. So during the service, you can offer serving opportunities, teach on membership, utilize the connection card. But then after the service, outside of the service, one of the things you really want to do with your regular attenders is ensure that they get involved in a small group. Whether that's a Sunday school at your church, or it's decentralized small groups or Bible study fellowships or whatever it might be, constantly evaluate who is a regular attender at our church that's not involved in a small group. And then do everything that you can in a reasonable, polite, respectable way to challenge those regular attenders to get into groups. Yes, you do it with gentleness. Yes, you do it with grace, and you realize there's seasons in people's lives, maybe when they have a new job or they have a new child, where they can't be in groups. But the truth is, if you get a regular attender into a group, even if they haven't gone through membership class yet, if they engage that group and they take a responsibility in that group and they build relationships in that group, they are going to grow. They are going to become a fully assimilated member in your church. Now, the way I do that is I notify specifically regular attenders about upcoming groups. So when it's time to sign up for groups, I not only challenge the entire church to sign up, but I might even go above and beyond and pull a list of our database of regular attenders who are not in a group and send them a separate letter, send them a separate invite. Maybe even, in my mind, target them on a Sunday for a conversation or for a nudge. And, you know, depending on the size of your church, you may have a list of five or six people that you know are regular attenders, but they're not in a group. And then when you see them on Sunday, you put your arm around them, either literally or just figuratively, and you pastor them and you help move them into a group. Nothing can accelerate the growth of a regular attender more than being there on Sunday and being in a small group. And so if those two things happen, they're well on the way to being a fully engaged member. And then when you lead groups, or when you have a group system going, utilize those groups as a fishing pool, if you will, for membership. So target your small group members to be members of the church, to be church members. So whenever we get ready to do a membership class, yes, maybe I'll preach on it. Yes, we'll have the connection card next steps like I talked about. But we will also look at people who are taking ownership in the church, but have not yet become members. And the first place I go to is I go to small group members, people who are part of a small group, but they're not an official member of the church. Now, the way it happens more times than not is 60-70% of those who are in small groups are already members, but there's 30-40% of the new people who have come into our groups from the last semester or from the last quarter that are not yet members. And so maybe I'll ask a small group leader to talk up membership in their group. Or maybe I'll suggest that one group that has a large number of non-members, that they go to membership class together. But I'm constantly trying to think of ways to move someone from being a group member to being a church member, because I know if they're in a group, they're going to be connected to the church. And for all of this, I am talking about a formalized membership process. And so when someone signs up for a membership class, In our culture, we refer to that as Class 101, which is membership. It's the first of several classes that we offer after someone becomes a member. But it is a one-time, three-hour class. Generally meets after our last service on a Sunday, but we have done membership classes during the week. In your resource guide, I'll show you our membership covenant and maybe some basic documents that we use in laying out membership. But it is a three-hour class that someone would come to, meet the pastors, learn about the history of the church, the purpose of the church, the vision of the church, learn about the expectations of being a member. And then at the end of the class, they would sign up to be a member. And then when they sign up to be a member, we would then evaluate that membership covenant to see if they meet the requirements to be a member. And we have some biblical requirements to be a member, like church membership or like salvation and baptism, as well as some cultural requirements that we've created that are part of our unique culture that may or may not apply to you, but we want them to have been around for a few weeks before they join so they know what they're getting into and a few other things like that. And then if we agree that they're ready for membership and they've signed up, then they become a member. And then that gets into member nurture and member care, which is beyond the scope of assimilation. But we do have a follow-up process, and we have an ongoing opportunity for members to grow in their spiritual growth, grow in their spiritual leadership, grow in their understanding of mission and serving and giving and growing and all of that. But again, that's beyond this today. But what I know is if I can get regular attenders to take these opportunities of serving and growing and joining a church, and then I can help them become a fully engaged member. One last thought in this session. What does a fully engaged member look like at your church? That is a topic that's worthy of conversation. So at a basic level, a fully engaged member at the church I serve is they are a follower of Jesus. They have been baptized. They follow Jesus in obedience of baptism. They are in an area of service. They have gone through membership class. They are regularly attending the weekend services. They have a regular connection to a small group, maybe not every semester, but they have a regular connection into a small group. They are giving at least something and hopefully a full tithe. And they have a general supportive view of our church. They're praying for our church. They're praying for me. This is a little hard to measure, but they have this general supportive view of where we're going as a church. That's a fully engaged member. And I've been privileged that most of the members that we have at the Journey, they were originally first-time guests at our church. In fact, we started our church with no money, no members, and no meeting location. So on that first Sunday, other than my wife and my worship leader and his wife, everybody was a first-time guest. And then over the years, we've seen thousands of people go through this process that I've presented to you in these sessions. And I'm privileged to say that the majority of the fully engaged members that we have, they originally started their journey with us for the first time. Others may have joined in the middle because they were already believers when they started coming to our church. But this is the way that it works. And so as you think about what a fully engaged member looks like, that will help you think beyond today's seminar about what does a membership class look like, how do I then hold members accountable to the covenant that we present in that class, and how do we have a church that's full of love and full of growth, that's healthy and growing with fully engaged members. This officially ends the process, but I hope you'll stay with me for at least one more session as I wrap up and just remind you of what assimilation is all about. So if you stop here, that's fine, but if you'll come back, I've got one last short session for you as I offer some concluding thoughts about the assimilation system. Hope to see you then.